I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Anaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Everybody in the AFC North lost yesterday, except for the Baltimore Ravens, exactly what they needed to happen. And they're now 2-5 on the year. Not a great record, but when you look at this division, there is still a really, really, really good chance for them to get back in this thing. Let's go out to Baltimore, get Ross. What's up, Ross?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Right. Well, how are you?
Good. Yeah, my takeaway is I want to give Todd Monken props for that touchdown, you know, instead of trying to pound it in when he had Kohler, got caught up on the right side and then slid him over to the left. Nice toss to him. TD. That was a great call.
I hated it, and it worked out. Look, it's first down. The clock's your friend at that point. So I understand what everybody's saying about pounding the ball in, but you tell me the last time they ran the ball three times in a row in those situations.
Right.
You see Derrick Henry pick up four, and then you get an incomplete pass on second, and now it's like, what are we running on third and six? So, that's one of those moments where play design was beautiful, worked out. I just don't know in that time period of the game that that's what I wanted to throw. And I can't make an argument because they scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking while that's going on.
You wanted them to pound it and just use the clock, right?
Well, because you're in scoring range already, first off. But, yeah, I wanted them to feed the beast. They weren't going to stop Derrick Henry the more and more you gave him the ball. And as I said, at the end of the game, he had 21 carries for what was it, 70-some yards and two touchdowns. But fact was, a lot of the carries he was getting was when they were in the red zone. And, you know, we would see some of those spots, or he'd pick up four here, there's seven, here's four. He didn't have the big breakaway like what we were talking about, Rob. When people go, Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor had an amazing game. Yeah, they also had a 60 or 80-plus yard touchdown run,
right,
which adds to all of that.
You have to have some kind of big run to have those kind of explosive games.
Yep. Unless you're in college and they give you the ball 40 times.
Let's go to Seattle and get Kevin. Kevin, it's 6:05 in the AM out there, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm a displaced Baltimorean living in Seattle, guys.
There you go.
I want to know, I hope you haven't talked about this yet because I came in a little late. The Humphrey play, every time I watch an NFL game, the definition of what a catch is seems to change. But I'm looking at that play. Which one of the requirements of a catch in the NFL did that fulfill?
When he landed the ball in his chest, that's before progress should have ended, not where he first touched the ball.
Okay.
But again, so we go back to it. This is one of the first things I said, and I bitched about this to anybody that would listen to me, because there's no rhyme or reason to the NFL. Hey, we got replay assist. Why? Did you get it for every play? Why did it come in on this one? Oh, okay, that's great. Now this one where you gotta catch the ball, get 2 feet down and make a football move. He receives the ball, lands 2 feet down. He didn't make any move. And as Joe pointed out, could you have called helmet to helmet with Humphrey coming in? Maybe. But
yeah, you could.
But at that point in time, the call has to be whatever you believe it was when that play finished, because that's not a catch. In any standard of the NFL, that's not a catch. And they came out and said the call stands and told us nothing.
I thought when they wrestled at the ground, because the ball never hit the ground, that's when the catch begins.
That's fine, but they set
the forward progress is not right.
That's not forward progress.
It's not.
And it's not a incomplete pass because the ball never hit the ground. And then you would have the debate, and I'm here listening to you. If the ultimate decision is it's a tie and the tie goes to offense when they grab the ball, because it felt like Marlon grabbed the ball. I don't know that you can call it a possession when he's got his hands on the ball and he's laying down, and then he reached out and grabbed it too. The ball should have been back there if that's the case, but they need to do something, because there's no rhyme or reason to what is a catch, what was pass interference when you could challenge it, all of those things, man.
We went from Seattle, Washington to Colorado with Al. What's up, Al?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thomas, I'm calling to give Rashawn a shovel over that whole Cooper Rush signing hype over the break time. As promised, Rashawn, I told you I was going to call. But yeah, that's all, fellas. I just wanted to, like, you know, give them that shovel.
Hey, what part of Colorado are you in?
I'm in Colorado Springs, so I'm actually from, you know, I live in Laurel, Maryland, originally from Baltimore, but, like, you know.
Are you in the military?
Yes, military.
What branch?
Army.
Army, okay. Thank you for your service. How is the Colorado Buffalo hype out there now?
Oh, man. Like, actually, it's a bar that I was actually about to get ready to go to during week one. Honestly, I'm kind of glad that. Are you talking about the Colorado Buffalo. Okay. Because it is like Bill's Mafia out here. Honestly, they're still like loyal and stuff, but it's not as hype as it was like back in like 2023 and like, you know, last year. It's kind of like mellowed out like a little bit.
I figured that. Hey, man, thanks a lot, Al. Hold on, Al, do you have a question for me? You're about to ask him something.
Well, I was going to mention, Fred, relatives moving to Colorado Springs today.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
It's a beautiful place,
and
too.
I was going to ask about it, but that was it.
Okay. Yeah. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike, why are you looking grumpy over there with your arms folded?
He hates Colorado Springs.
What are you mad about?
I'm just listening. Keep yapping.
He's writing down. He gave every call we just had a C.
Yep.
Damn, Mike, you're on one today.
I gave you an A, Rob.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
A-C.
You give me no A.
Give you an A, Rob.
A for, yeah.
You know damn well he ain't never given you an A when you question his report card every time it comes out.
A for. I'm giving you an A. 410-583-1057 is the number. If you give Rashawn a shovel, not only for his Cooper Rush hype, but for his Dallas Cowboy 3-4-1 hype, it's the Cowboys' year to do what they do every year.
I told him he's in an abusive relationship with the Cowboys. Man, they hurt you. Who hurt you?
Cowboys.
Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones?
Dak Prescott, up to yesterday, is having a really good year, though.
Well, he's having an MVP season, yeah. But he ain't going to win it when you're 3-4.
He's playing very well.
He is. Yeah. But better than I thought he would play.
You know, for a guy that still has all his baby teeth, he's surprising with how good of a quarterback he is.
No D, man. No D.
Such a weird thing to point out, but yeah. He's got all his baby. Why are your teeth so little?
And why would you notice something like
that? How do you not notice it? He smiles and you're like, where are those? What the hell?
Let's go to Arbutus and get Travis. What's up, Travis?
Hey, Rob, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Good seeing you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, man, it was a pleasure talking to you, and he's taking time to, you know, talk to me and my wife yesterday, man. It was you know, great at the tailgate.
And the tailgate is awesome. It brings people together, man. It was a good time yesterday.
Yeah, and we saw two quarterbacks there, too, yesterday, remember?
Yeah, we did. Hey, Jeremy, Travis has a little Jeremy Kahn in him. Travis thought he saw Joe Flacco and who else?
Dak Prescott.
Saw two dudes that looked just. I didn't notice it until he pointed it out.
Did they look like him?
It looked just like him.
I want to do that thing where I start noticing someone at the airport, at a ball game, and they look like whatever. Hey, you look like Robert Redford, and then take the picture and say, just met Robert Redford, and let everybody fight in the mentions about how it's not him.
And by the way, Jeremy, I told Rob yesterday, you got some issues, bro.
I do?
You're kidding.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because you weren't there.
Hey, Travis, thanks a lot, man. Good meet you, bro.
All right, you guys have a good day.
You too. Yeah, he said, love the show. Jeremy Kahn's got issues.
Just like a comic book collection, buddy. There's a ton of them. Issue after issue.
Mike Preston's report card at 9:30, but on the other side, we go around the league and pick out MVPs up next on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, Monday morning quarterback. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Mike Preston from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Jeremy Kahn, who are your MVPs around the league?
Yeah, let me give the one that's not a wide receiver. Well, they're both not wide receivers, even though one does catch passes quite a bit. Let's start off with my guy at the Colts, Jonathan Taylor. I mean,
what a season he's having.
A couple years ago, was it 2 years ago, we were calling him maybe three, the best running back in football, some injury-laden seasons, bad quarterback play there. And
this
then all
year
of a sudden,
you could be calling him that again.
He's the best running back in football right now. And yesterday was just absolutely on one. He had 12 carries. 12 for 153 yards. That's 12.8 a carry to go along with two touchdowns.
Two tutties.
And then he said, well, hell, why don't y'all throw me the ball? And then he got two catches for 21 yards and another tutty. Three on the day. One of the best players you could have had yesterday if you were playing daily fantasy or on your fantasy team, because he just destroyed the slate. A lot of people had him. He gets my first one, and my second one's going to go to a tight end. Good old Dallas Goedert making it happen. A.J. Brown gets scratched. Before the, what was it, on Friday, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's like, Devonta Smith had a big game, and he's been just killing it there as well. It was just nice to see. And here comes Dallas Goedert. Did he do anything special? No, it was 3 for 28. But he had two touchdowns, and those were key. And if you watch the games, that's what put that game away from the Giants. And in that game, it sucks. Cam Scatabo, dislocated ankle.
That sucks.
It looked awful. And did you see Jackson Dart? Out of that moment just showed you like the camaraderie they have and why they like him. He was over there MF and so angry that he even threw the pass to him that it happened. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
Just a freak accident, but Scatabo done for the year.
I'm going with the team that's a quarterback that's better than I thought he would be coming out of North Carolina, and that's why his team is better than I thought they would be coming out of the training camp. Drake May, I'm sorry, man. I was wrong.
I didn't think
he would be horrible. I just didn't think he was a franchise quarterback. Well, I thought he was a good guy to get you to the next guy.
To be fair, he comes out of the Mitch Trubisky, Daniel Jones,
exactly.
All those guys that had 1 year of success.
Exactly.
And then it's like, hey, I'm the number one pick.
He's 18.
But look at them now. Look at Daniel Jones now, yeah. Too.
18, look at Mitch Trubisky.
18 to 24, 282, three touchdowns yesterday with a 135.8 passer rating. Oh, and by the way, all he did was ran the ball seven times for 50 yards. Everybody runs now, man.
And Rob,
every quarterback can run now. What's up?
If you haven't seen here in recent years that for quarterbacks, it matters what team drafts you. Look at Baker Mayfield. Yeah. Look at Sam Darnold. Look at all these guys that went to teams where it's just like.
Danny Dimes.
Daniel Jones is another one. You see all these players, even Mac Jones with San Francisco. And this isn't a good week to talk about it because he sucked yesterday. But again, going to the right team and being in the right environment can help you become a good quarterback.
My other MVP from the Buffalo Bills is not Josh Allen this week. It's James Cook III, 19 carries, 216 yards and two touchdowns, 11 yards a carry. Those are my two MVPs. Ed Norris, who are your MVPs?
A big weekend for rushing. First one is going to go back to the Eagles. It's going to Saquon Barkley. 14 carries, 150 yards. That's 11 yards a carry, 10.7 to be exact. He had a 65-yard run, touchdown. He also had 24 yards receiving and a receiving touchdown. Big day in the Eagles win. My other is...
And by the way, his injury is not thought to be serious, right. Though, by the way, Saquon.
Yeah. My other one is also quarterback. Bo Nix. He's another guy. I didn't think much, but yesterday he had a huge day. I mean, for his team, because he threw for four touchdowns yesterday. 19 at 29, 20, 47 yards, four touchdowns. He had a pick, but a passer rating of 117.4. And he led the Broncos to a big win. I had my doubts about him. I guess didn't see him play a lot because he played, out west. But... they were a good team. They're 6-2. I mean, you can't deny it. They were top tier, the AFC West. So,
yep.
Mike Preston.
Saquon Barkley. I agree with Ed. I mean, and he came out and established himself, and that's what you want to see with the Eagles because they have a pretty decent offensive line. But they've had some injuries, and they've been decimated at times. But for him to get going again, it looks like they're starting to peak at the right time. And then the other one is Daniel Jones. The Colts beat up on Tennessee, 38-14. And Jones, 21 of 29 for 272 yards and three touchdowns. And when I watched this kid play at Duke, I didn't think he was very good. And again, it does go back to which team drafts you, because he was lost for a little while, and then all of a sudden he ends up in Indianapolis, and he looks like he's a born again player.
410-583-1057, Pasadena, Mario. What's up, Mario?
Hey, hi guys. Like your show. Just commenting on the is it a catch? Is it not? I don't know the answer, but I guess we're gonna have to leave the human element in. It all goes all the way back to the Billy White, Sue Johnson, and Houston Pittsburgh game a long time ago. But I mean, the game could have been changed yesterday, or it could have been helmet to helmet, which you guys mentioned. And then as far as the penalty, when I forget what it was, when we were going for it on third or fourth, and we caught the sideline pass, our receiver did, and he grabbed the defensive guy's face mask. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know the answer, but I guess what I'm saying is when the calls go our way, we got to take it. And when they don't go our way, we got to take it.
You know what? I think it's fair what you're saying, but no, get it right. Like, again, the call, there has to be, we have to know what is a catch and what isn't. Because now I'm challenging, and now I'm risking a timeout because I think that's a catch under the letter of the law, and you're telling me it's not, or vice versa. This is something that's very simple. Did he get 2 feet down and make a football move? And the answer is no. So his forward progress cannot be stopped. And for them to come back and say it stands, they give no other information on why it stood, why New York said that. There has to be some rule that we're all going, this is what it is. And I understand when they allowed you to challenge pass interference, we're all watching it going, he's grabbing his damn jersey and pulling him to the ground before the ball gets there. Oh, he didn't do enough. What?
But earlier, a caller earlier said that. He goes, every week it changes this with the definition of a catch. And he's right. They've got to stop this. They've got to just come up with a rule and stick with it.
Yeah. And that one was easy.
That was easy.
Like the TJ Hockenson one to me, that touchdown catch where he's rolling over and he has the ball. And by the time he kind of flips over in the end zone, the ball pops free.
Right.
But then he re-catches it inbounds. And they said, no, that's not a touchdown.
Let's go to Corey in Baltimore. What's up, Corey? Corey.
Yeah, there he is.
We got you.
Yeah. Good morning. How y'all doing? I ain't gonna test the time, Rob.
I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Come on, Jeremy. Don't start with me, man.
I was in.
Don't. Because I'm just trying to understand, man. If you a fan of Peyton Manning, you know he played for the Colts for 14 seasons, my man. So every time he do a touchdown, who was you a fan of?
What do you mean? With Peyton?
What do you mean? What I mean?
I was a Colts fan. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You a Colts fan?
No, I'm not. I was a Peyton Manning fan. That's what I found out when he went to Denver.
Ah, man, whatever, man.
What do you mean? Whoa, 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 whatever. I grew up without a football team, so you don't get to tell me who I root for. You can root for whoever the hell you want to root for, but I'm going to do me.
Go ahead, man. You're a bandwagon there, man. But anyway.
What's a bandwagon? I jumped on the Colts when they were the worst team in the league? Cool.
Last week, man, I never got a chance to even shout out my guy, man. They're playing UNLV this week. You know, so I'm going to be in Vegas, man. They're going to be up in the Raiders Stadium playing UNLV, though, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be a good thing for college football. But I got one more thing for you. What's up with these college coaches, man, being in a position to score? And they always going for fourth down. Lane Kiffin almost lost me $100 with the stupidity of going for fourth down in his territory.
That's Lane Kiffin, though. You haven't been watching Lane Kiffin. That's what he does. That's who he is. He's always been that guy.
Now.
But that's always been Lane Kiffin, though. That's not new. That's why Lane Kiffin's not in the National Football League, because he was doing that in the NFL before everybody else was. It ran him out the league.
I wish you would have lost your $100.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin is that dude, man. He is. That's why his team scores so much. He's going for touchdowns. He don't like field goals. He don't like punting. He don't like kicking the ball at all. So I'm sorry. As far as college football coaches, maybe you can talk about somebody else. But that's Lane Kiffin's DNA.
But like in this,
he goes for it.
By the way, we talk about it all the time, and everybody wonders, why do you go for two when you're down 14? If you watch the Jets and Bengals, you saw what happened.
Yeah.
They end up winning that game because of that.
Final thoughts at 9:45 in a promo on Monday Night Football. But on the other side, Preston's report card up next on The Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, Monday Morning Quarterback, Mike Preston's report card. Mike, it is a sea of C's. The highest grade you gave out this week was a C plus. That's quarterbacks, running backs, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
So it was a very mediocre performance for you.
Of course. They played the Bears. I'm not going to get all giddy and happy because, they beat the Bears.
Mike, I've never known you to be giddy or happy.
I can get happy every once in a while.
Come on now.
I haven't seen it. I've known you for a long time.
Wait till you see my praise break, man. I can break it down.
Okay.
Now.
All right. I've known you for 2 decades. Ain't seen it yet.
All right, man. We have no idea what grades he's giving all these different units on the team. What about running backs?
Running backs, I gave him a C plus. I thought Derrick Henry had a solid game, not spectacular. Keith Mitchell, they finally used him, got him in the offense. Did a nice job. I thought the quarterback, Huntley, thought he played within the scheme. Didn't make any great throws that I thought was like, oh, this is great. I didn't see those. I just saw him make throws. I thought he did well with running the option. Quarterback draw. He did everything he was supposed to do and played within the scheme. And they took some shots down the field.
See, and I don't necessarily agree with like all of Mike's grades and everything, but I love the way he does it because I feel like he kind of stays uniform to how he feels. You're not getting graded on a curve. Okay, you won a game. You should have won against a team you should have beat. And I don't care that they won 4 in a row. They're still the Bears. And now here's Rob just kind of brushing you off. He's like, it's a terrible grade.
Man, that's Rob. I'm used to it, man.
We'll get the report card on how we all did during the show. You can give Rob one now if you want.
No, man, Rob gets an A.
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Nobody believe that.
But, man, I thought it was just a mediocre overall performance by a team.
So overall mediocre, but nothing impressed you about yesterday.
No, I can't say that. I will say they were okay, but I didn't think they were great. I just can't say they were great.
I mean, the Wiggins play, I feel like, kind of changes your perception on that game. Like, making that interception, and then you get in, and then here you are. Now you're basically fighting the clock and trying to give them enough possessions to get back in the game.
They did put the game away in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You know, which very seldom happens in the NFL. Most of the time, it always goes down to the last 3 or 4 minutes. But they put it away, and that was impressive. But, all right, I still keep saying, they're Chicago. And I don't care if they won 4 games in a row. I know who they beat. The week before, they beat the Saints. Well, St. Francis could beat the Saints. All right, so I'm not going to go, that's a great team. No, the Ravens have a lot of work to do, and they know it. And as John Harbaugh said after the game, it's just one game, and that's the way I look at it, and that's the way I approached it. If you want to go on a winning streak and you want to get serious, well, you keep winning. But until then, it's just one game.
He didn't say a big-time college team could beat the Saints. He said St. Francis Academy, right. High school could beat them.
Right.
Wow.
That's disrespectful. You disagree with him?
No, I'm just surprised
he's there. You don't even hear any argument, right? It's like, damn, St. Francis could be.
I think that St. Francis kept the ball on the ground. You never know what could happen. You can get Mike Preston's report card, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Mike, you're also on the podcast as well, right?
Yeah, man. And got an interview tomorrow, I think we're putting out the podcast, but I had an interview with Ozzie Newsome. Got 10, 15 minutes with him. Talk about, you know, and what's kind of cool was he talks about patience all the time because he was a guy who was brought up in the civil rights movement.
Right.
In Muscle Shoals, Alabama. All right. So he's
a strong man.
He's right there.
That's a strong man.
Yeah. And in the sixth grade, he was the only black kid in a desegregated school.
Wow.
And he talks about patience all the time. And if you talk to Ozzie, interview him, he's not a guy who speaks a lot. He's just kind of just sits there and observes and makes his observations and so forth. But all he kept saying is that we still got all of these games within the division, within the conference. We could still pull this off. And I'm like looking at him like, oh, okay. And you start thinking, okay, he's right.
He's right.
He's definitely right, but there's still some things there that this team has to do better. We'll see. But at least it keeps it interesting.
And, of course, you can hear that on Be More Sports Pod. Let's go out to Graysonville and get John. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Hey, at the end of last year, Henry wasn't getting hit for like 3 yards going through the line of scrimmage. And the only thing that changed this year from last year is Voorhees for McCarry. I'm just trying to get you guys' insight on why McCarry couldn't have been that great. Why do you think the offensive line has regressed this much when you have Rosengarten, Falele with another year experience, and it's practically the same offensive line? Thanks.
They are better than you think. I think you completely glossed over how good those guys were.
I think he's talking about with the run game, and Mike, maybe you can speak to this, or Ed, chime in with the fact that offensive line, it's about building a rapport. You've got to know where everybody's going. One guy makes a mistake, and I feel like sometimes some groups work better than others. But again, you've got a lot of, you kind of piecemealed this thing on the offensive line and just thought, hey, this is going to be fine. Falele is going to be okay. And the one thing we've said about him is it's weird. He actually grades out well. Except when he doesn't, he looks like the worst offensive lineman in football. It'd be like having the best shooter in the league, but he puts up 3 air balls on a continuous basis. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just that type
I just
of
think thing. It's the one unit that's got to work in unison more than any on a football team. And they can be better than some of their parts.
But I would like to ask him, what makes him think those other guys weren't that good? If you just called
him and say, the guys that left.
Yeah. If you just called in and say how good it was last year, but they couldn't have been that good, well, based on what? What makes you think they weren't that good or they weren't that much better than the guys that replaced them when the results were so much better?
Yeah. I think you get video on these guys. They play for a year. Like Rosengarten, there wasn't any footage on Rosengarten. Then you kind of watch them play. And anybody who's ever been involved with football, you can watch guys and pick apart their game.
Yeah.
Like what's going on, what you do here, what do you do there? And Rosengarten, there's footage on him now. So you go back and you look at it. Falele, that was basically last year was his first year starting. Now you can kind of see some things going on with him. They're not extremely athletic. They're big guys. They're road graders. That's what they do. But in certain situations, like on goal line, you can get under their pads and you can push up and jam them. And
why
you
is that?
See that happen.
Why is that?
Because they're big. They're just big
are they,
guys.
Are they also maybe playing too high?
They can be playing too high, of course. I mean, but they're
Like Jeremy Kahn too high, but standing up too high.
Like, gotcha. Falele 6'7", 6'8". Yeah. Well, you get under his pads and work under him. Rosengarten, Lindenbaum is light for a center. He wakes 305, but
he's light in the ass. He is.
Yeah. But if I was going to play him, I would put a nose over him just to nullify him. Voorhees, another one who works too high. Ronnie Stanley is very good at what he does. And he's versatile enough to do some things. But overall, they have to run the ball to be successful. And if they can't run, they can't pass block. That's not their forte, and that's where they get exposed.
So the better pass blocking with you not knowing whether they're running.
Of course, yeah, okay. And most offensive linemen are.
Okay.
When you just come out and say, no, we got to catch up. We got to throw the ball 25, 30 times. And everybody knows you got to back it up.
The only thing that helps them is the other team is in the prevent, and they're not coming with 5 people.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, man, if you can't run the football, they're in trouble. They are. They get exposed.
Final thoughts and a look at tonight's Monday Night Football game up next. Monday Morning Quarterback.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Fan. Baltimore Ravens took care of business yesterday, 30-16 over the Chicago Bears. I'm watching this documentary on the Pistons, and I just saw the Bulls up there. I almost said the Chicago Bulls. Jeremy Kahn, give me your final thoughts on yesterday's win to push the Ravens at 2-5.
Yeah, look, we can say what we want. Not like this, not like that. I don't think there's a lot of people complaining about this game that aren't named Mike Preston. I know, I'm kidding. He's still here in the room, so he can hear me. I would say this. You got done what you needed to get done without Lamar. If you're getting him back, so now you don't have him playing 4 days later off of a hamstring injury, it ends up being a better deal for you because you got the win. You didn't know you were getting it beforehand. And honestly, the fact that you're playing Miami on a Thursday night, it makes me wonder, you have a chance to sit down with that front office and talk about some of the players they might be moving while you're down there? maybe you bring a couple of guys back with you if they win that game. But now everything hinges upon road game Thursday night and how you do. I think there's going to be a ton of points scored in that one.
Hey, Mike, what did you give the crowd yesterday at the game?
I don't know. I couldn't hear because I'm in the press box. So it's silent.
Silent. Final thoughts on yesterday's game?
They were effective. They won, and they needed a win. And it puts them back in at least there's some salvation for their season to say, one, now we got to go on a winning streak. And you can't go on a winning streak unless you win one game. So now they get a short week. They go to Miami, who's not very good, and they could turn their season around. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Ed Norris.
It's according to the – this has gone exactly as the plan, and I mean that. We talked about if they could just get this win. You know, last week we said they can lose that game before the bye. Don't want to. You don't want to get into the bye with a loss. But if you come out and you beat the Bears, you can actually salvage your season. And I think that's exactly what they've done. They still have a chance. I said no one in the division – only the Steelers are above 500. They're 4-3. No one has a positive point differential. It's a bad division. I think the Ravens, I know the Ravens have the best roster in this division once healthy. So I truly believe that they're going to take this division and make the playoffs. And once you hit the postseason,
it's all over.
It's a new season. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters once you hit the second season. So I'm very optimistic. I really am, because you look at who's sitting at the top of these divisions. The Patriots, they're better than I thought. I'm not afraid of the Patriots.
They're good, though.
They're good. The Colts, I think, look like the best team in the AFC right now. But I think a healthy Ravens team can do this. I mean that. And I look at the schedule. We all knew going into the season, the beginning of the schedule was going to be a rough freaking ride. Couldn't anticipate the injuries, but that was going to be a rough ride. This is where it really softens up. And you have five divisional games, so you have a real chance to make up ground here.
They got to go 9-2 down the stretch. They picked up win number one yesterday. 8 more to go, and I think they'll be fine. They get to 10 wins. I think you got a different situation, because getting to 10 wins could mean you ran the table against your division. That is huge, especially when you look at what the records are right now. Pittsburgh being 4-3 is also huge. Only one game over 500. If Pittsburgh is... I don't know, just one more win, Jeremy, but 5-2 and 4-3 is huge when you got to play them twice.
Yeah.
You can catch up with them. You can bring them back to you, and I think Pittsburgh will help them out, because I don't think they are legit. That's not my hate. It's not my hate. It's just reality. You know, everybody who wants to crown Pittsburgh early in the season because they get off to a hot start, yeah, that's Mike Tomlin. But when you get film on the players, now the players got to produce, and I just don't think they're that good. Big Monday Night Football game tonight. Let's take a look at it right here on The Fan. Now, Redskins? What's the Commanders, Jeremy? What's their quarterback situation for tonight? Jay Daniels.
Marcus Mariota's playing.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So do it that way you will.
And Terry McLaurin, it's Scary Terry playing though, right?
Yeah, so I was like, I actually listed out all the prop stuff tonight. Terry is supposed to get... he's 4.5 receptions for 55 yards. And for the people going, how can he get 4.5? It's an average. It's what the algorithm, go ahead and drink, spits out. Mariota tonight, I like him to throw a pick. I do think that Washington's the right side plus the points. You'd be asking Kansas City to come out and win back-to-back double-digit games. That's what they did last week when they beat the Raiders' ass. And then now you come back to this point, and you have a situation where you got your backup quarterback. You're getting some pieces back. What's going on with this Washington team? It just feels like Kansas City controls this game, and then Washington loses by 8 to 10 points or whatever. And I think they cover
10 more. Yeah, I think about 10 or more. Who wins tonight? Mike Preston,
Chiefs fan. You know, I don't know why people keep, you know, people say I'm a Pittsburgh fan. I'm not a Pittsburgh fan. And then other people who said I'm a Cleveland fan because I'm from Cleveland. I'm from Essex. Yeah. There's a difference. Okay. But I just like.
With the Kenwood, baby.
Right. I don't know why they would say
I don't
stupid
know.
Stuff like that.
You don't know why?
Never mind. I don't want to get into that. Ignorant people. Anyway, Mahomes, Kansas City.
At home.
They still have the best team. Right now, they're the best team in the NFL. And until further notice.
I'm with you. Reports of the demise are premature. Ed, who wins tonight?
Chiefs win, sadly. Because I can only hope that they somehow have a bad night. Commanders, it'll take it, steal one from them, and then the 4-4 because they can lose that division. Broncos are 6-2. The Chargers are 5-3. The Chiefs lose that game. They got to make up some ground against two pretty good teams. And that would the one thing I don't want is the Ravens to face them in the postseason.
Yeah,
and that's really what I'd like to avoid. And I like the some help from DC.
Jeremy Cobb, people are going to have to build a bridge and get over this one because we will not ignore Game 3 of the World Series, which will be played tonight. Give us a look at that.
Yeah, look, this is one of my favorite spots, and I'm going to give it out. I love the over here. I think people are misreading this game. They're going to look at the ERAs like, oh, my God, Tyler Glasnow, this and that. Look at what they did with Blake Snell in Game 1, a big-time strikeout pitcher that relies on strikeouts a lot. They're going to make him throw a lot of pitches. The Blue Jays do not strike out. I like Tyler Glasnow under outs. I like Max Scherzer under strikeouts. I love Vlad and Freddie to go over 1.5 bases. And I think Toronto scores more than 3.5 runs. All of it correlates with the over. I just gave you, what was that, six plays there? Five plays? Six plays. I think they all, like, I love them a lot tonight. It's hard for me to tell you my favorite outside of the over in that game, but I think we see a ton of runs scored.
I do, but I think on Tuesday, Shohei Ohtani toes the rubber with his team up 2-1 because I think the Dodgers win tonight.
More than likely, but I do think we see runs from both sides. I will say the one thing, the Dodgers' weakness, surprisingly, is going to be their bullpen. They got a lot of arms out there, a lot of live arms. Some of the closers got hurt. Now they're asking guys to do way more.
Yeah.
That's why the Yamamoto outing was so huge.
Yeah. You know, one thing I do like, though, adding an extra round to the playoffs. Remember during the time, there was a time where you'd get a day off in between the homestand. Like, you may play Monday, not traveling, but you still might be off. They stretched this thing over so much. Now you only get a day off for travel during the World Series, which I like a lot better. Vinny and Haney up next. Yes. We'll be back tomorrow with sports coverage on everything. NFL, MLB, Game 3 of the World Series, as well as the NBA. What's going on there with the gambling probe? Any updates, we'll let you know. Have yourself a safe and wonderful Manic Monday.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning of Threatened Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.